Pasuk Gimel, Vayareini Hashem, Hashem showed me Arba'a Choroshim, four craftsmen. Vayimar, I said, Mo'ele Boim La'asos, what are these four craftsmen coming to do? Vayomer, and Hashem, Vayomer Hashem said to the Malach, Lamor, I want you to say to Zechariah, that's besides everything that we spoke about yesterday, it's also interesting to take note that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak directly to Zechariah. Obviously, Zechariah, the level of his prophecy is much lower. As we mentioned many times, he's from the very last of the prophets. And Hashem did not speak directly to him at all times. And when he wanted an explanation, Hashem spoke to the angel, the Malach, and the Malach transmitted the report to Zechariah. Elu ha-kronos, these are the kronos. So first in the explanation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to him what the kronos are. We are reviewing. These are the kronos, Asher Zeres Yehudok, that have these kronos, these four horns, represent the four powers of the world, either the Dalad Malchios, or the four corners of the world, the four ruchos of the world, where the goyim can be found, which have scattered the Jewish people to the degree, kefi means kishiur, to the degree where ish loy nasar oishai, man, each man was unable to lift up his head in shame. Vayavo eile lahacharid oisam. Now, the craftsmen are coming to terrify the koronos. It sounds almost like the total sum is 8, 4 Koronos and 4 Choroshim. Yet the Mitzudis David says the 4 Choroshim and the 4 Koronos are really one and the same. Each one is just knocking out the predecessor. L'hacharidosam, li'adois es karnos hagoyim, to knock down, to thrust down the horns of the nations. Hanoisim keren, which lift up their power, El Eretz Yehuda, to the land of Yehuda, Lizor Roysa, to scatter it. There's lots of repetition. There's repetition, it's very, very vague. The Mitzvah David was just very, very general. Let's do the Rashi. We didn't yet do the Rashis. The Rashis, Pasuk Gimel, begins Arbo Chadoshim Nagorim Hayodim Lenaser Es Hakranos. Rashi learns that the Chadoshim refers to carpenters who know how to lenaser, to saw, to remove es hakronos, the horns. V'rabbeinu perishu v'mesechta soka mihem, who are, we'll see this in the Likutei Shas, we're going to see who the Choroshim are, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyo, the Kohen Tzedek. We're going to go through the Mamar Chazal in the moment. Rashi's sending a Mamar Chazal, we'll see in a few moments. Okay, next. Vayomer Lema. And Yachli, put it on the screen. Let me just make sure this is charged so I can get on the screen. Yeah, it's charged. Okay, fine. Vayomar, next Rashi. Vayomar lemor ele ha-kronos. These are the kronos. Asher re'isa barishayna. These are the kronos, going back to the previous prophecy. Asher zedu es Yehuda v'hishpilum. And these powers have scattered the Jewish people to the point. Ad, Rashi adds the word ad. Ad is the same thing as what it says in the Mitzudos kishir. To the degree, kefi ish loynasa roishai, loynasnu le'echad mibnei ami lahadim roish. None of the people of my nation were able to lift up their head. They were so ashamed. They were so weakened. They had no resolve. They had no stamina. Vayavo eile hachorashim l'hachadir esam hakronos. These crashes have come to terrify the kronos. Uliadois, I sent to cut them down. Liadois, Rashi makes it very clear, means liadois lahashlich, is to cut down. Okay, now let's look at the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Gimel, and Dalid. Okay, I should have done this in advance. And please give me one moment to get this up on the screen. Oh no. It's giving me all this nonsense here. Capture stuff. Nothing better to do. Personal. Okay. All right, coming to a screen near you. All right, here we go. Vayareini Hashem arba chodashim. Hashem showed me the four craftsmen. It's a little bit blurry. I apologize. We'll do the best we can. Hashem showed me the four craftsmen. Radak umanim craftsmen k'may chorosh etzim. K'loymar ligdoya hakranos. K'loymar kol malchus tiyeh chodash lo. Each malchus will be a craftsman. Lo ligdoya hamalchus akademis lo. The Malbim, the Radak is learning exactly like the Mesuta studied. Even though if you read the pasuk at face value, it would appear that there are a total of eight. There are four kranos. And there are four Chorashim. No, the four Chorashim are the four Koranos. Each Chorash is the next Karen. Each Chorash is the next Karen. Fine. Kolaymar kol Malchus tiyet Chorash lo ligdoya hamalchus kakademes lo. Ki Malchus Bavel, the Malchus of Bavel nafla fell biad pros. Umalchus pros nafla biad Yavan. The Yavan biad Roimi. And Yavan fell biad Roimi. The Roimi Tibol Biad Yisrael. Now, here's something very interesting. This something, before you go further, you have to explain something very carefully. And the Metzudas really said this. He alluded to this, but he didn't say it to the same degree like the Radak. If we are saying that there are not really eight, there are really only four, and each one is going to be the Chorash for its predecessor, so who then did Bavel cut down? Bavel came along. Bavel is called a Karen. Bavel is called a power. And this power is coming to scatter the Jewish people. If it's coming to scatter the Jewish people, Bavel, so they're called a Karen, but they're also called a Chorash. They're also called a craftsman that's cutting down somebody. Who are they cutting down? Who is Bavel cutting down? Who was the predecessor of Bavel that we can call Bavel a Chorash? So this is exactly what the Radak and the Metzudas David came to allude to. When I told you that it's not really, if at face value, it would appear to me that there are a total of eight. And then he comes along and he says, no, it's not really eight. There's an overlap. I told you it's four. It's not true. The total sum of Choroshim and Kronos are five. The overlap, after you overlap the four Choroshim with the four Kronos, you have a total of five. Let's explain. The first Karen is Bavel, but Bavel is not a Chorosh. Bavel is only an evil power. There's nothing good about it. It's not called a craftsman, a carpenter, because it's not cutting down anything that came before it. Now let's go to number two. Who's the second Karen?
That was already mentioned by Haggai. In Haggai, we had that he said that this is a, I believe it was Haggai, that who described Bavel as someone who just goes
doesn't and exist,
destroys.
Just destroy. Right. There's nothing creative, nothing constructive about Bavel. Bavel, in fact, is a nation. Right. There's nothing good about them. There are different psukim. Where Callus is mentioning the different psukim that mention the nothingness. That doesn't even exist. There's nothing creative about Bavel. Bavel is only called in this pasuk, according to the understanding of the Radak and the Metzudas, as a Karen, a evil power that has scattered the Jewish people. Now we come to number two, Karen number two, Paras Umadai. Paras Umadai is a major world power. They conquer the world. Why are they called Karen? Because they also succeeded in dispersing Klal Yisrael. But they have the advantage that they're called Chorosh also. They're creative. Where is their creativity? In this, that they cut down Bavel. So let's review so far. Bavel is a Karen, but not a Chorosh. Paras Umadai is a keren and a chorosh. Now let's go to number three. Number three is Yavan. Yavan is a keren, and Yavan is also a chorosh. Let's go to number four, Edom. Edom is a keren, and it's also a chorosh. It cut down, it creatively cut down Yavan. Now we go to number five. Number five is just a chorosh. It is not a keren. Number five is the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach will cut down Edom and will bring Mashiach, but it's not called a keren because it's not scattering the Jewish people, just the opposite. He's going to achieve kibbutz goliyos. So this is a very important idea according to the Radak. Radak over here is teaching us over here is that we have four. If you read the pasuk,
maybe the fifth one is the corona. That's a keren.
A keren. It's a dispersed. Okay, in this. You're saying things that are very, very deep, way too deep for me. But again, at face value, if the pasuk tells us there are four koronos and there are four choroshim, it sounds like we have eight different members of our cast, eight members of the crew. No, then we get the impression that there's an overlap. That would mislead us to believe that the four koronos are the four choroshim. Each one is knocking out the predecessor. But that would have to then mean that Bavel knocked out someone before it. Who did it knock down? Well, if not for the Metzudos David and the Radak telling us otherwise, I would think that what it knocked down was Klal Yisrael. Bavel, until the time of Bavel, Klal Yisrael had autonomy. Shlomo HaMelech, he brought Klal Yisrael to a state where he ruled the world. HaMelech Shehasholom Shaloi, he ruled over the entire world. So Bavel came along. It was not really Bavel. First we had Ashur. So maybe either you'll say that Bavel, he knocked out the Jewish people, or maybe Bavel knocked out Ashur. Ashur appeared to have been the world power before the Melech of Bavel. So if not for the Metzudas David, and the Radak telling us otherwise, after they teach us this principle that there are not eight, it's not four choroshim, four kronos, but there is an overlap, I would assume that there's a total exactly four, and each one is a keren, and each one is a chorosh, and when we start with Bavel is a keren, they dispersed, scattered Klal Yisrael, and they're also called a chorosh in this that they either they knocked out Ashur, or maybe it means they knocked down the sovereignty of Klal Yisrael. No, the Radak and the Metzudos reject that approach. And they tell us that Bavel is only called a Keren. They're only called a power of evil that has scattered the Jewish people. They're not called a Chorosh. So where then is the fourth Chorosh? The fourth Chorosh is the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach will be the one that will cut off Edom, the Keren of Edom, and the Melech HaMashiach is not called a Keren, because in the context of these psukim, the Keren has an evil connotation, and the Melech HaMashiach is certainly not evil. Let's read these words of the Radak again. The Radak is saying really what the Metzudas David said, but he's being more precise. Uman, in the words, Koloimar, let's see the second line of the Radak from the top of the page, Koloimar, Ligdoya HaKeronais, Koloimar. Whenever it says Koloimar, it's always a stop sign. Kol Malchus, each one of the Dala Malchios, Tiye Chorosh Lo, Ligdoya, to cut down HaMalchus HaKoidemes Lo. Now that, right away you would assume that Bavel is called a Chorosh, because Bavel is coming to knock down its predecessor. And then he goes on to explain, Ki Malchus Bavel, he starts with Paras. Malchus Bavel was the one that was cut down. So Bavel is clearly not calling a Chorosh. Ki Malchus Bavel, Nofla B'yat Paras. Paras, Paras was the first Chorosh to cut off the Keren of Bavel. Umalchus Paras, Nofla B'yad Yavan. Yavan was the second Chorosh that cut off the Keren of Yavan. V'Yavan B'yad Roimi. And now, who is the fourth Chorosh? V'Roimi Tipol B'yad Yisrael. We are the fourth Chorosh. Okay, then, okay, that's his first interpretation. Then he goes on to explain a whole different pshat. Oh, let me give you a whole new approach to understand the four. Yia hecharoshim mashal al hamalachim sorei maila. The choroshim, indeed, there is a total of 8, not a total of 5. There is a total of 8, and it's the sorei maila hamimunim al hamalchuyos. Rabbi Seinu Zal. Okay, so then according to this interpretation, that in Shemayim there are 4 malchuyos, Bavel, Parasamodai, Yavon, Edom, and in Shemayim there are 4 craftsmen, 4 angels that have been created for the purpose of cutting down these kingdoms. It's not that the next kingdom is the Chorosh for its predecessor. Nothing doing. In Shemayim there are angels, ministering angels that have power, that are instrumental in bringing the end, the demise of these 4 kings. Then he says a third concept, V'rabbeseinu Zal, Perish HaPasuk, Limois HaMashiach, and this we're going to see in a few moments in the Mamar Chazal, V'amru Ma'ninu Arba Karoshim, Omar B'Shimon Chasida, Rabbi Shimon the Pious One. Who is that? I don't know who that is. L'char, that's not Rashbi. We don't even call Rashbi Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai the Chasida. Stam Rabbi Shimon in the Gemara is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. I'm assuming that Rabbi Shimon Chasida is not Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Moshiach ben David, Moshiach ben Yosef, the Eliyahu Hanavi, the Kohen Tzedek, and I guess that means the Kohen Gadol, whoever the Kohen Tzedek is. These are the 4 Choroshim which will appear in the time of Moshiach, and they will transform the world. It's a very important chazal. We have to spend some time on this, what that means. We don't really hear much about this type of idea. When we talk about end of the days, we talk about Mashiach. Af al pi sheyismamea im kol zeh achakalib chol yom sheyavoy. The pasuk says, Hine anoichi shlech lechem eis Eliyahu hanavi. Lifnei bo yom Hashem. The pasuk clearly states that Eliyahu hanavi must come before Mashiach will arrive. And that's the very big question on all of the false Mashiachs. All the people in throughout history who claim to be Mashiach, all the movements who try to make a person into Mashiach, wait a minute. Doesn't it say in the Pasuk, Hine anochi shlech lechem eis Eliyahu hanavi, lifnei bo yom Hashem? Eliyahu hanavi has to come before we can decide who Mashiach is. So before people put up their candidacy, before we have a debate and a moderator to debate, the moderator will debate the people who are debating. Before we have this whole dialogue, we have to first have Eliyahu Hanavi. That's what it says in the Pasuk. So that's a very big problem for Shabsai Tzvi. We were Shabsai Tzvi Eliyahu Hanavi. He wasn't Eliyahu Hanavi. No one ever thought he was Eliyahu Hanavi.
From Aza.
Okay, quite a character. Okay, his cheerleader. Quite as his general manager. Quite a character. Nosson from Aza. So where is Eliyahu Hanavi? So you'll answer. I found the answer to this question. And the answer is that it depends if it's Be'ita or Achishena. That if it's only time we have a principle, Hinei Anochi Shlochem Eis Eliyahu Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Agadol V'Hanayra, that's only when Mashiach will come. I don't even remember. I don't know. One or the other. So whoever wants to say the Mashiach will always be able to wiggle out of it and say, that only applies in the other situation. Either Mashiach will come before its time, or Mashiach is going to come in its predestined time. And if I don't have an Eliyahu Hanavi, so then we can say that now is the predestined time, and Eliyahu is when it comes early, or vice versa. You can play with this, and that's how you're able to wiggle out of this difficult pasuk. But the truth really is, Olav lo havi ra'aya. You're fighting an uphill battle when you try to declare yourself Mashiach without having the support of an Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, that's a different topic in and of itself. But here, this Maamar Chazal makes it very, very clear that it's not just going to be Moshiach, is Eliyahu HaNavi, and it's going to be, don't forget, is Moshiach ben Yosef. What does that mean? That's a big mystery. And what does it mean? This new thing that we never heard of. Whoever talks about this? You ever heard about this fellow, the Kohen Tzedek? I never heard of him. What is this all about? Obviously, the coming of Moshiach is way, way, way over our heads. Now we go to the next Pasuk down in the Radak. V'Omar, Kifi Ish Loi Nasa Roshoi. Nikhu Oysam, this is an explanation that our enemies have scattered us to the degree. V'Zero Sam Kishi'ur. It's a great word. This is a great word. Kishi'ur. Like a shi'ur, it means a measure. A measure, and the way we use this word in our vocabulary is to the degree. Shaloi nasa ish mibnei Yisrael roishai mibnehem. Kifi, the word kifi means perush kishiur, which again we're translating as to the degree. V'chein ish kifi ochloi, each man according to what he eats. Everyone eats. This pasuk is describing the man. Each person, depending on what they need, what their needs are. V'chein tirgim yoynesan v'loy shavka enosh lahalacha b'koyma zikufa. They did not leave. Shavka means they did not leave or allow man to walk with their head raised up high. In other words, dignity with hope, a healthy outlook on life, to be happy people looking forward to the future. Instead, the Jewish people were severely depressed, had their heads, they looked down to the ground with sadness, nothing to look forward to. The word liadois, what is the meaning of the word liadois? Lahashlich, to cast down. Kemo vayadu evan bi, they threw a stone down upon me. Okay, that concludes the Radak. Now let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim is not all that long. I'm going to put it on the screen. Okay, it's actually 2 pages. I gotta do that again to do it correctly one more time. 2 columns, I meant, not 2 pages. All right. Okay, let's take a look at the Malbim. Pasuk Gimel. Vayareni. I know it's a little bit bent on the screen. Let's try the best we can. Vayareni. Hashem leneged zeher ohu arba choroshim. Hashem showed Zechariah 4 craftsmen. Sheheim umanim hamuchanim legadeh hakarnes ho'ile ki l'chol malchus hamiskaberes ba'olam be'echad me'arba ruchay seho. For each king that prevailed in one of the 4 corners of the world, Hechin Hashem, Malchus Acheres, another kingdom, Hamuchenes, that is prepared lahashkisa, Bishaata, to destroy it in its appointed time. Kimosha Hechin es Modai al Bavel, just like Hashem prepared Modai to destroy Bavel. The Yavon al Munuris, the Malvim is much more precise. He did not say Paras, he said Modai. Modai, they were a team, Modai uParas, a father in law and a son in law. Modai came first. The Daryovesh Hamodi from Modai, he had a son-in-law, Koresh from Persia. They were a team. And the deal was, after Koresh, the Malchus, the power, would go back to Modai, and that never happened. Instead, it went to Achashverosh. It went to a successor, someone who really usurped the throne, in Paras. He was double illegitimate, Achashverosh. He was illegitimate in respect the Malchus belonged to Mordai, not to Paras. And even if it would go to Paras, Achashverosh had no business being king. He was a stable boy. He didn't have royal blood. It was a double illegitimacy. It's like Obama being born, not just in Kenya, Kenya in Mars. There's a Kenya on Earth, and there's a Kenya in Mars, another Kenya. So I'm assuming it says in the Constitution that you have to be a citizen of the world, of Earth. In addition to being part of Earth, you have to also be from the United States. So we have to, it's the Anoichi Haster Aster Ponai Bayomahu. The Gzera of Purim, Lahashmid, Laharog, Ulaabed Eskola Yehudim, was carried out with the signet ring of a person who was doubly illegitimate. The Malchus, there was an agreement, a formal agreement, that after the death of Koresh, the Malchus would return to the nation of Mordai. That agreement was violated, and it went instead to the Malchus of, it remained amongst the Persians. Okay, it's among the Persians. Who should the Malchus go to? Someone that has royal blood in the Malchus of Paras, not to the stable boy. And somehow, I don't know the whole story, I forgot the whole story, but somehow Achashverosh, he manipulated, he was a master politician. He was able to manipulate things in such a way that he became the king, illegitimately. So Achashverosh, who issued this harsh decree to destroy the Jewish people, from our perspective, we were stunned. Stunned. It was an act of God that this man who is doubly illegitimate, what are the chances that something like this can happen, that this man can be in power and can do something like this to us, to issue a decree to destroy us, to commit genocide? When this man, how he got into power, is just impossible. Impossible. They say this about Hitler, Yimach Shemai V'Zichro. The chances that he was able to get into power and to be in such a position, if you would ask any normal person going back 20 years before, or 10 years before, maybe even 5 years before, they would say to you, you're out of your mind. It's like you see the janitor in the subway, yeah, he's going to be the next president of the United States. Yeah, you wish. You wish. How in the world did that happen? A double illegitimacy, Achashverosh, Timekayim, V'Anoichi, Haster, Astir. A double degree of hiddenness, Ponai, Bayoimahu. And here, he's telling us over here, Sheikhness Modai, so here he calls it Modai. I got off onto this tangent because in the Radak, he calls Poras. And Poras, it's not as accurate. It was really Modai. The Malbim is more accurate. You can't say the Radak is not accurate. The Radak is the most accurate of them all. So you have to really understand why the Radak said the word Paras and did not say the word Modai. But the Malbim says Modai. Al Bavel V'Yavan Al Modai V'Chein Tami V'Chazal Amru Man Ninu Arba Harashim. And now the Malbim goes into the Maimon Chazal. So he's not, the Malbim over here is being very vague. He's just saying the basic ideas. He's not elaborating exactly. Is it four? Is it five? He's leading that to the Radak and to the Mitzudas. But now he goes into the Chazal, and Chazal say, "Maninu arba b'chadoshim, Mashiach b'dav, Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyahu Malki Tzedek, Chavonosam, Shachronis, Yigudu leosid in the future, b'koyach ha'gvur v'hamelchama u'malchus Yisrael. It will be cut down in the future with the power of might and war, and the Malchus of Yisrael, shall zem mitzayer Mashiach ben David mitzad Yisrael." Here we go. Here he's going to explain what this Chazal means. Mashiach is going to come. He's telling us of the incredible secrets about how Mashiach will unfold. Mashiach ben David mitzad Yisrael. There's going to be a representative of us. U'Mashiach ben Yosef mitzad ha'umos. And this is very, very explosive, what the Malbim just said. His words are that Mashiach ben Yosef is a representative of the Umos ha'olam. What does that mean? He opened up over here a can of worms. He opened up over here an explosive topic. We know there's something called Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. What's the difference? Most of us will answer they're both from us. They're both us. They're both Orthodox Jews who went to yeshiva and daven three times a day, and they daven, they live in the community, everyone knows who they are. And one of them has a hashkafa. He's a worldly person. He's a politician. He works at the UN. He works in the White House. He's on the world stage, like Malcolm Homeline. Malcolm Homeline used to be, retired now, the president of all of these organizations. He's involved in politics and dealing with issues that affect the Jewish people, dealing with the world, the Umas. And then there is a Mashiach ben David, which we look at a person who's a saintly person, holy. He doesn't even know what the UN is. I mean, I say that he's a holy, holy person. He's in the Dalid Amoy Shel Halacha. So there is the Askon, and then there is the Rosh Shiva, the Rebbe. That's not what it says here. He says he's explosive. Mashiach ben Yosef is mitzad hu'umos. It almost sounds like, I don't know what this means, is that the Mashiach ben Yosef is not part of us. He's part of them. And what does that mean? Does that mean he's not Jewish? Can't be. It means it just is. He's an askan. He's a shomer Torah mitzvahs, and he's an askan, and he's busy with dealing with politics. It doesn't sound like that. The words of the Malam seem to say that this person is a product of the Umay Soilam. He's from them, and he's dealing with them, trying to help them achieve a degree of spirituality. But he's from them, he's not from us. He is a product of their community. I once had a friend, I always think about this, and I can't get this out of my mind for some reason. I had a friend, he was on trial. He ended up going to jail. He ended up going to prison. And the very last stage of this ordeal, this horror, was they asked everyone, they begged everyone to write letters to the judge, to express, to show that he's a good person. And when he hands down the sentence, he should show leniency. Okay, he's guilty, he has to go to prison, but it's the judge's decision if he'll go to prison for 10 years or he'll go to prison for 6 months. Or maybe not go at all. And the judge has that privilege of deciding what the sentence will be. He made a mistake. He committed a crime. He apologized. He was very sorry. B'chulu, b'chulu. But the law is the law. You can't get away with, you know, the law is the law. But yet the judge has power to decide. And they asked everyone, write a letter to the judge. Write, tell the judge what a good person he is, he has a family, what he does for the community. And a lot of people, they wrote, they poured out their heart. And they wrote beautiful, eloquent letters to the judge, stories, this, that, v'chulu, v'chulu. The day of sentencing came. And the judge is a very good person. The judge, they were very happy with the judge. The judge was a good person. And, you know, he had a lot of sympathy. And he basically said that this whole trial, this whole thing was just a setup. He pretty much acknowledged that this guy was set up, v'chulu, but he said, there's nothing I can do. The law is the law. And then he went on to say, I have right, you know, he went through the whole thing, and then he said, I got a lot of letters. And I read, he says, I was up the whole night. And he's thinking, he said, the whole night, I was up very, very late, reading carefully every single letter. Because I really want to help him. I really, really want to find a reason not to give him a harsh sentence. Because I really feel that this whole thing was not fair, but there's nothing I can do. But I need something to work with. And what he said really, this haunts me ad hayom hazeh. I don't know why. I don't know the system. I don't know the government. I don't know how the whole thing works. Got a lot of letters. He says all the letters were very beautiful, very passionate, very powerful, but they all came from your community. They all came from the Orthodox Jewish community, every one of them. And he said, amongst your own, you're all very, you know, he's very good. He did amazing things. He's a very good person. There was one letter, though, that came from a Gentile. One letter that this fellow once worked for a Gentile at some point in time. And he wrote some very nice things about him. That letter is what I'm able to use to grant you leniency. He didn't get, you know, he had to go, whatever it was, but he was able to get leniency in not laying down such a harsh sentence. Because I needed something to show that you're a good person outside of your little world, your little community, your little Orthodox community. And this Gentile wrote some very important things, very powerful things that are very relevant. And that is what I can use in law, in the rules of a judicial decision to assist you, to grant you leniency to a degree in this situation. And, you know, this always haunts me. I don't know why it does. I don't know. Is that sometimes we're very good amongst ourselves, but there's also a need, Klal Yisrael, to be an Orla Amin. And I don't think we appreciate it, because we ain't Adam Roya Nige Atzmai, we're on the inside. But the Goyim have a very different perspective of a Jew. And it's thoroughly impossible for us to enter into the mind of a non-Jew and understand how they look at us, the way they connect to us. In order for Mashiach to come, Mashiach is not, this is a very big mistake that we make about Mashiach. It's not such a mistake, because the Malbim discussed this idea. Okay, the Malbim discussed this idea that if we were Zoyche, Mashiach would have come for us, just the Klal Yisrael, generations ago. And then the Mashiach that will come for the Umos HaOlam would come whenever it's meant to come. Okay, so but because we were not Zoyche, okay, because we were not Zoyche to this, our Geula, our Mashiach, will have to come together with the Mashiach for the world. Now, whatever that means, that's a very, very deep idea from the Malbim. The only one I ever heard say that was the Malbim. But one thing is clear. When we say, Afal pi sheyismaneya im kol ze achakele b'chol yom sheyavai, Mashiach is not just coming to Flatbush, or Lakewood, or Muncie, or Florida. Mashiach is coming for the entire world. Even the people in Kenya are going to be enlightened, be affected by Mashiach. The people in the most remote parts of the world are going to be affected by Mashiach. it's not just something that's going to happen in Borough Park. It's going to happen throughout the entire world. And in order for that to happen, it says here, there has to be part of the Mashiach coming, a Mashiach ben Yosef. A Mashiach ben Yosef, the Malbim says, is mitzad ha'umois ha'olam. The Mashiach ben David, it appears, is not enough. The Mashiach ben David is a Mashiach that's only going to appeal to Klal Yisrael. The element of Mashiach ben David may at the end be, the whole world may come in to connect to Mashiach ben David. But at least initially, it's like what this judge said. Yeah, you're a very good person amongst your own community, but I need to work with something to show that you're good to society in general, the whole world. And it's a very delicate point. Mashiach is coming for the whole world. And the Mashiach ben David, at least initially, does not appear to have appeal to the Umos HaOlam. When you tell the Umos HaOlam about a rabbi who is immersed in the Dalit Amos Shel Halacha, okay, he's a very holy person, but we don't relate to him. We're not ready for that yet. We don't connect with that. There is something called Mashiach ben Yosef. We're not making this up. And the Malbim here, he says it. I can't prove this what he's saying, but he says it in a way which totally changes. Which gives you the impression that Mashiach ben Yosef is a product of the Umos HaOlam. He's an outsider. From our perspective, he's an outsider. That's maybe the better term. Maybe, I'm assuming he's Jewish, he's Shomer Torah U'mitzvos, but yet, the Orthodox community, when they look at him, mechutz l'machaneh, he's not one of us. Is that true to say? Can you say such a thing? Is that because it's to say such a thing? Well, Mashiach didn't come yet, so we don't know. We don't know what it means. But the Malbim does say something very extreme. It's mitzad hu umay sa'ilam. That is one of the kronos that is necessary, one of the charoshim that is necessary to bring Mashiach. It's not just a personal event for Klal Yisrael. Let's go further.
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt, but I'm kind of locked out, trying to come in.
Okay, you need to come in? All right, Kalman, say what you're saying to the Shia. I'll be right back. Speak to the Shia, I'll be back.
Melchizedek is not a Mashiach, and it was in the past, not in the future.
Okay, so what were you saying of Kalman? What were you saying?
I'm questioning here, what is the Melchizedek doing here? Like, why
okay, we have to get there.
Melchizedek cannot Mashiach ben Yosef or whatever.
Okay.
It's a Melchizedek is Bereshit. Unless he means Melchizedek, he borrows the term from Bereshit, but it's not the person Melchizedek, because he died already.
No, we're not saying that. We're saying the Kohen, it doesn't say Malki, it says the Kohen Tzedek.
No, it says in the Malbim brings Malki Tzedek.
Oh, I'm sure you have said it. He says Malki Tzedek.
Okay, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara, okay, I don't know if it's a typo. There's another Gersa. Maybe because the Gemara says Kohen Tzedek. The Gemara does not say Malki. So either it's a typo Or maybe there's another girsa. There are other girsois. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see in a second.
I was going to say also what we were talking about before, helping the other communities. It says we have a bird called Chasida, and it's a non-kosher bird. It's a bird. Why is it called Chasida? Oise Chesed in Chavreisel.
Only its friends.
Do Chesed with your Chavreim, you're a treifa bird. You have to do Chesed with everyone.
Exactly.
You're machna for everybody else. That's what it is.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's continue it. Let's continue.
Well, listen, just as long as we interrupted, Shimon Chasida was an Amore Shvitzeli Bedora Rishon or Bedora Sheni.
Ah, so he wasn't a Tana. He was an Amora.
No, it wasn't a Tana. And not to be confused with Shimon Achosid. Two different people, okay. It says here. But anyhow, that's who he was.
Okay, very good. Very good. Okay, let's continue. Oh, so here it's here listening in the album. V'chein the Chazal amr maninu arba acharoshim Moshiach ben David Moshiach ben Yosef Eliyahu Malki Tzedek Kavanasam Shakranas Yigudu Leosi B'Koyach Agvur HaMuhammad B'Malchus Yisrael Sha'al Zem Mitzayim Moshiach ben David Mitzad Yisrael U'Moshiach ben Yosef Mitzad U'Mois V'chein Yigudu B'Koyach HaKuhuna V'Avoidas Hashem The Kuhuna V'Zem Mitzayim B'Eliyahu Eliyahu Shukoyin Tzedek Mitzad Yisrael. Now look at a lot of this. Umalki Tzedek Koyin Likel Elyon Mitzad Ha'umais. Now that is an explosive analysis of the Malbum to explain the coming of Mashiach. There is Mashiach ben Yosef, a product of the Umais Ha'olam from the political side. All to bring the people to recognize Hashem, and a spiritual spiritual leader of the Umay Soilam. What does that mean? The Pope? I don't think so. I'm sorry to tell you, the Dalai Lama? No way. Buddhism? What does that mean exactly? There are people out there in the world that are recognized as spiritual leaders amongst the Muslim. The most famous is the Pope. None to talk about. The Dalai Lama. You know how many people? You know how many people follow him? It's outrageous. The number. I think maybe even more than the Pope. These are considered to be spiritual leaders in the eyes of the world, and yet from our perspective, that becomes him. Mamish, the worst of the worst. The Buddhism. Dalai Lama is pure apikorsis. It's mamish avodah zarah. Worse than Christianity. And Christianity, I mean, look how much blood they've spilled. Look at the tsaras they brought upon us. That's a religion. Come on. So what does it mean then, this concept of the Malbim in the 21st century, at least in my little head, is so far. Where can we find in this world a political leader that is respected by the Umay Sa'olam, that is guiding them towards religion, towards Hashem? And where can you find in the Umay Sa'olam a spiritual leader that's guiding them to recognize Hashem? Those two have to partner with Mashiach ben David, who we're calling, according to the Malbum, Mashiach ben David is more of a political leader. Isn't that what he's saying? Because the spiritual leader will be Eliyahu HaNavi. I never looked at it like that.
It can't have a Avodah Zarah, and it can't have like Christianity or Islam. Is that correct?
No, you can't. Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. Shituf. To go say that there's a son of God, what kind of crazy nonsense is this? So, Mamash, I mean, you want to have me on the technical details of the Rambam? If Christianity is a Avodah Zarah, Mamash, forget about that. Christianity is out, mechutz l'machane. No way. Anyone that has any belief in this person that they called Yoshka is nothing. Does not go in, cannot come near us. This is Avodah Zarah, Mamash. This is nonsense. To say that there's a human being who is the son of God, What kind of crazy thing is this? This is unacceptable. Unacceptable. And in Islam, the same thing, to have a meshugana, to lie to the world that God appeared to him. Well, the Rambam calls him a meshugana. Calls
I mean, it's not outright of Avodah Zarah. It's a false prophet.
Okay, so that those are technical details. If Shituf is Avodah Zarah, if the origins of Islam is Avodah Zarah, but this is not acceptable in any shape or form. When we talk about religion amongst the Ummah Yisraelam, it's on our terms. It's the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. That's on our terms. And when you talk about a political leader that has a sense of belief in God, you show me today a political leader that has any morals and is trying to guide the world towards spirituality. And what's also very unique about this Malbim is that the Malbim learns the Mashiach ben David, the fact that he contrasts Mashiach ben David to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is the spiritual leader of the times of Mashiach. Where Mashiach ben David, what he seems to be saying, is a political leader guarding Klal Yisrael. Which is not what's the way typically what we understand. Most people, when you talk about Mashiach, they'll tell you that there are only two partners in Mashiach. There's Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is the political element of Mashiach, and Mashiach ben David is the religious element of Mashiach. But that's it. Along comes the Baal. No. Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, they're politicians. Mashiach ben Yosef is the politician of the Umas Olam. Mashiach ben David is the politician of Klal Yisrael. But they're politicians. Spiritual leaders. Eliyahu HaNavi. He is going to be the spiritual leader of the Jewish people in the times of Mashiach. And who is going to be the spiritual leader?
All those questions.
And who is going to be the spiritual leader of the Umas Olam? The Kohen Tzedek, he's calling Malki Tzedek. It's going to be an individual who is spiritual for real, and he's going to be. We're in a lot of trouble if this is what it means, because we don't see these type of people anywhere on the horizon, guarding the Ummah. Some Ummah them are sinking every day, lower and lower.
I think I understand what a little twist what the Malbim says here. What he says, both of them avodat kehuna v'avodat Hashem, not political. He says both of them bechoach kihuna b'avodat Hashem, and as an example, v'zehu metzayen. Where he uses it, the word v'zeh metzayen. Here you can have a dugma be'Eliyahu Hanavi shehu kohen tzedek mitzad Yisrael, that he is completely avodat kihuna v'avodat Hashem. U'malki tzedek kohen le'elev le'elion. Ze lo avodat Hashem. The Kohen, Kehuna, Zotie Kehuna. It's a religious Kehuna.
Right.
What?
In spirituality.
Kohen, Kmok Shemalkitzedek was Bizman Abraham, the same way that leader in the future will
okay,
be
fine,
Kohen
okay.
El Elyon.
Okay,
right.
It doesn't mean he's still alive. It doesn't say anything with Malkitzedek.
And he was going to explain to the Kohen what is just, what is not just. That's all.
Hello. Yeah, I'm looking at the Rashi in Sukkah, and he says, Kohen Tzedek, who Shem ben Noach, Venikra, Chorosh, Vechaze, Chorosh, Ve'ez, Achzoref, he calls him gracious, Rabbi says, because he built the Teva. Vefarishla, Vemalki Tzedek, Shebolikras Avraham, Ubarchu, Vechisku, Vekoru, Chorosh, Al Shem, Binyan, HaTeva, Shebona, Im Oviv. So
okay, that's
why he says
called
that.
A Chorosh.
And Elio was called a Chorosh because he built the Mizbeach.
Very good. Fantastic.
That's the Rashi.
And Mashiach ben Yosef, why is he called a Chorosh? What physical structure did he build?
Line, does it say Shlosha, Mikos, doesn't say that. It says Mashiachim Shneim, Choroshim, Levinyam Beis Hamikdash.
Ah!
Levinyam Beis Hamikdash. Elio, Chorosh, Evan Shebona Mizbeach Bahara Carmel.
Fascinating.
Sinu Shehu, okay.
Right. And so you're saying, so what about Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef?
Yeah,
so,
that's because they built the Beis HaMikdash.
Together.
That's what it
okay,
says.
That's what they, that's in order to be called the carpenter.
Go into more than that. It only explains basically Shem ben Noach, and it's the Bereishis Rabbah that says, that uses the terminology Malkitzedek. Malkitzedek, in other words, it says here, Malkitzedek, Kohen Tzedek, he says Malkitzedek, that's Shem ben Noach, because Rashi and the Bereishis Rabbah.
Okay, very good. Okay, so they have, you have to, in order to be called a Chosh, you have to actually build something for real. You have right. to, and Malkitzedek, he built the Teva with his father.
Right.
And Eliyahu and Eliyahu built the Mizbeach Bahara Karmel. Bahara Karmel, mi la Hashem Elai. Im la Hashem l'churachrav, im l'baal l'churachrav. Lamata posech al shnei asifim. Okay, let's finish with the Malbim. I want to finish the Malbim, but let's finish. We have one more column, just one more thing quickly. Eile HaKaronais. After these Kronites, these evil empires have scattered the Jewish people more than they're deserving. What he's saying, the Malbim just said a mouthful. When the Pasuk says kifi, to the degree where they can no longer lift up their head, means more than they were entitled to do. This is a theme which repeats itself over and over again. Although Hashem gave permission to our enemies to conquer us and to bring a Chorban, Hashem did not give them permission, gave them limited permission. They did not allow them to commit genocide. As we mentioned with the Nazis, the smoking gun, it's why were you smiling? Why? Just because, what's this? You were following orders. Following orders. Really? Look at the smile on your face. Look at all the pictures in all the museums of the Nazis mocking the Jewish people. That's not called following orders. To destroy, murder with a smile on your face, it's a revelation that this is premeditated murder and you are chayev misa. There's nothing more a judge needs than to you need to see the pleasure they had, and that's the thing which the Malm here is coming along to say, that the Umo Yisraelim, they were mafriz al hamida, they went way too far. What's the smoking gun? Because it was kifi asher loynasa kifi ish loynasa roishai. If the Jewish people were so humiliated, where not even one of them was able to lift up their head, that goes to show that you went way too far, much more than what you were allowed to do. Tofas, this is the third line in Pasuk Dalet in the Malbim. Tofas kimshal hachayois ho he'aritzois, like wild animals. Ho aritzois, arit means they're mighty, powerful animals. Hamenakhois bekarnehem, with their horns, roshei hachayois hachalushois, the heads of the weak ones. The mighty ones gore the weak. Okay, the giboidim destroy the weak ones. Ad shehakevosim hachaloshim yireim loseis roshem b'neaginigicha. The weak ones, the weak sheep, are afraid even to lift their head because of the danger. Lekach vayavo eile lahachrid oisam. Therefore, mida keneged mida, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the chodashim, and it's going to do the same exact thing to them to terrify them. Written Loimar, Lepamim bo rak lahacharid, lebal yorimu keren lenageach, lepamim bo liyadois. So he's coming to explain the repetition. We ask, why is there so much repetition? Because sometimes they will, the chorashim will just come to terrify them, and sometimes the chorashim will come to actually demolish, to actually destroy them, liyadois. Ulashlich es hakranois hagoyim hanoisim keren, shimlo yecharadu v'yosif loseis keren yadoisam. Because if they're not going to be afraid, again, if they're not going to be afraid, if they're not going to be terrified, then they may attack. So we have to take away their weapons. Sometimes it's not just enough to frighten someone. We have to actually take away their weapons. All right, we're going to stop over here for today. Okay, we're going to continue. Maybe we'll have a Shon Chol HaMoed. Okay, and we'll take a short break. I want to discuss a few more halachos for Sukkos. And end off with a little machshav, a little drush. in honor of the Yom Tov, Habo Aleinu L'Tov. I'll take a 2 minute break. Yes.
Many years ago, I was working somewhere, and a yeshiva bacher came over to me and complained that this other guy, a Christian, was nudging him. He kept nudging him about Melchizedek. He said, "What is that?" And I think he was talking about Malkisedek.
Malkisedek.
They think that's a reference to Yashka.
Interesting.